Well, we begin this show with a somber song which advocates courage for the dying. It is sung by Cassie Ma, and we play it in memory of astronaut John Young. It's called Winter Rose.
In the same, tried to placate, not to heal, was taken sharply by his pain. He who gave me vivid roses, grown inside his gentle mind. In his torments, he discloses worlds I never wished to find. Sent him to his spirit's death, and gave him hope when all was lost, and stole the flower that took my breath. He who gave a gift of flowers rests in quiet darkness now. Silent are his special powers, blank his once expressive pride. Was the courage and the care. He who was hopeless learned to trust. I who could help him did not dare. All I did was let him founder, all unknowing on the reef. Gave him a lie to make it easy and stole his selfness like a thief. Desert land, I am a barren thorny stem, and as a coward cast my lot with all the cowards known as them. All the cowards call me hero, all the heroes have been stilled. Still their vengeance sings the silence, points to hungers left unfilled.
The hand he taught.
And you might ask, why are we playing such a mournful song? Well, it's because we have to say goodbye to an astronaut. His name is John Young, and he has died. Now, John Young was the first person ever to go into space 6 times. He wasn't the first person in space. He went to the moon twice. Now, not very many astronauts did that. He walked on it once and orbited another time. He was selected as an astronaut in 1962, September. And during his career at NASA, he became, the first person to fly in space 6 times. Now, let's go through those missions. In 1965, March, on Gemini 3, the first manned Gemini spacecraft. He named the craft the unsinkable Molly Brown because Gus Grissom was his partner on that flight, and Gus Grissom's Mercury capsule had sunk in the Atlantic Ocean, very nearly killing Gus. So they called it the unsinkable Molly Brown after a stage show that was running around about that time. His second flight, John Young's second flight, was in 1966 July on Gemini 10, and this involved meeting a Gina target vehicle, docking with it, and then undocking and travelling over to another Gina D rocket and doing a spacewalk and recovering some samples from it. Then in 1969 May, he flew to the moon on Apollo 10, orbited the moon, took the lunar module down to within about 15 kilometres of the lunar surface in a test of the landing techniques that were going to be used a couple of months later in July of 1969 on Apollo 11, the famous first manned landing on the moon. Well, he went to the moon again in 1972 April on Apollo 16. And this time he landed on the moon, he was the commander, and went with Charlie Duke, who, by the way, is a friend of the space show. Then a bit of a gap of nearly 9 years, or pretty almost exactly 9 years, to his next flight, not because of any shortcoming of his, but because the space shuttle wasn't ready to fly when it was supposed to. So in 1981 April, he flew STS-1 with Bob Crippen, the first ever space shuttle mission. The two astronauts aboard it were John Young and Bob Crippen, and they landed that quite successfully. Then in 1983, November and December, he flew on STS-9. After that, that was the sixth time in space. He went into the astronaut office from 1974 to 1987 as the chief of the astronaut office. Then in 1987 to 1996, he was a special assistant to the director of the Johnson Space Center, responsible for shuttle safety. And you'll get a point later on why that might have been relevant. From 1996 to 2004, he was the Associate Director Technical at the Johnson Space Center, and in 2004, December the 31st, he retired from NASA. So let's have a few things from his history. Let's go back to the landing on the moon in 1972, April. This is Apollo 16, the final descent to the moon.
The 64 at 8200, pro,
over.
Pitch over. And here he is, Gators, Lone Star.
I'll do the thing, Charlie.
Okay, 38 degrees.
Right.
Down on dot, north ray. Looks like we're going to be able to make it, John. There's not too many blocks up there.
Ryan, you go for landing.
Okay, 4,000 feet. Go
for landing.
42 LPD.
42.
Okay, 3,900 feet.
Okay, 2 to the south, Charlie.
Okay. It's in. Okay, 42, 41 LPD, 30,000 feet on profile.
Okay, we're coming right down. Gonna be a little past.
Okay, 41 LPD.
Okay,
2,000 feet, 60 on profile.
Okay,
42 LPD, couple of more in, 1,400 feet, 44 down, looking good. Okay, out of 1,000 feet, right on profile. 54 LPD, dropping out the bottom now, 800 feet, 30 down.
Okay, Houston, we're gonna be just a little long.
Roger.
But we're just now beam double spot.
Copy.
Okay, 22 down at 500 feet. Big blocks over here to the left, John. Okay, 300 feet, 15 down.
Okay. Take over, Charlie.
Okay. Okay, fuel is good, 10%. That comes to Shadow. Okay, 200 feet, 11 down. Okay, 5 down at 130 feet. 2 forward. Omaha, Christian. Okay, looking good. Perfect place over here, John. A couple of big boulders. Not too bad. Okay, 80 feet. Down at 3. Looking super. There's dust. Okay, down at 3. 50 feet. Down at 4. Give me one quick up. You're backing up slightly. Okay, 2 down. Stand by for contact. I'm going to let her down. You level off. Let her on down. Okay, 76%. Plenty fast. Contact. Stop. Boom. Throw. Engine arm. Down. Okay, 430
10.
Check the app.
Now we don't have to walk far to pick up blocks.
Houston, we're in front of hold, hold the boat.
Oh, the run is finally here, Houston. And
it's I can look right out to the left and see.
Go aft, Omni, all right.
Double clock, and we're about,
okay, you got it. Okay, we're sure. Forward to the north, forward and to the north of double spot, I would guess about 200 meters to the north and maybe 150 meters.
In 1994, John Young came to Australia, and he did a talk in Sydney and then in Canberra. Unfortunately, he did not come to Melbourne, so a bunch of us hired a plane, and we flew ourselves up to Canberra and went to his talk. John Young was kind enough to allow us permission to record that talk, and then afterwards he answered some questions. And John had trouble understanding a question from me about the failure of the STS-9 computers. Now, I should explain what the context of this is before we hear John Young's answer to it. So 4 hours before the re-entry of the Columbia at the end of the STS-9 mission, John Young oriented the orbiter using the reaction control system steering jets. One computer crashed, and then a few minutes later, a second goes down. Now remember, they've got five of them. Now Young delayed the landing. Then one of three inertial measurement units failed. So then John was able to successfully reboot one of the computers. Now, John Young later said that had he then activated the backup flight software, loss of the vehicle and crew would have resulted. So with that understanding of what this is about, here is the question that was asked in Canberra.
On your last mission,
could you ask that question again?
On the last mission on the shuttle, just before you re-entered,
yes,
the main computers dropped out.
Both of them, yes.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah. I remember you made some remarks that really got the heart beat. Would that have been one of the most frightening experiences in your career, or can you tell us about what would have been the most frightening experience?
It's hard to say how frightening that experience was, because not only did the two computers fall out, but we for a period of time there we had no flight control whatsoever because we didn't have any computers up. The space shuttle looks like a big flying machine, but what it really is a big flying computer. There are five computers on there, and there are 420. These five computers talk to about 430 or 40 other devices on there that act like computers. See, so people say, well, it's just a big flying computer. Well, two of those computers went down, and unfortunately we had the other three shut down because we wasn't bringing them online yet, and we had to bring up a computer that was offline to replace those two computers that failed. And the main thing I was worried about was trying to read that fine print in the malfunction checklist. I don't know if you're familiar with our malfunction procedure, but the book is that thick. Just trying to find the right page in zero gravity is very difficult.
So John Young there, as you can see, I would have visions of him if he was aboard a plane crashing or a spacecraft about to come to its end. He would die cracking a joke. Well, post-flight analysis showed that each computer failed when reaction control system jet motion jarred a piece of solder, shorting the central processor unit boards. After the landing, it was discovered that two of the three auxiliary power units caught fire due to a hydrazine leak. The power units are located in the aft of the shuttle orbiter, not in the cabin, but they are essential to operate the rudder and ailerons. Without control of these, the shuttle will, of course, crash. Well, the fire caused major damage to the power compartment. I also asked John during the question and answer session at this lecture in Canberra about the funding of the space station. Now, remember, this was in 1994 when a space station was planned, but they kept on changing the plans and so on, and it didn't eventually get orbited, well, the beginning of it, until 1998. So here we go, my question to John Young about funding the International Space Station.
In your estimation, from the opposition at NASA, will Congress continue to fund the space station, or actually happen? When do you estimate humans will get back to the moon and perhaps to Mars?
Well, that first question is a tough one. When will Congress continue to fund the space station? See, last year, space station came within one vote of being defeated. This year, they made it by 64% of the vote, which is better than most congressmen get elected for. You know, they're glad if they win 51% of the votes to get elected in the first place. But I'm dumbfounded. The thing won by over 100 votes this time, and last year was within one vote of getting defeated. Maybe it's the Russian participation. Maybe it's due to the fact that the executive branch leaned on the congressman more. I don't know. It's always amazing to me that what happens in our nation's capital, and I wouldn't be able to tell you if it's going to make it or not. I tell you this, though, for the people working on it, it's very disheartening to have to work on a program that from one moment to the next, you never know if it's going to be going or not. That is very troublesome. It always worries me. And when we go to Mars and when we go back to the moon, that's when the nations get together and decide we're going to do it. Now that we're in cahoots with the Russians and all the European Space Agency and all the other people, industrialized. It's about a 5-year problem, they claim, to get back to the moon, about a 10-year problem to put people on Mars. If everybody decides to go in a big way and do it, we can do it. We have the technology to do it, the knowledge. We certainly have the creative young men and women in these countries that can work on space and make enormous contributions. We think we had 30,000 spinoffs from Apollo. I think going back to the moon and going on to Mars would be millions of spinoffs that will be very beneficial to everybody, and I sure hope we get on with that, because I think for the human race to be successful in the next century, the exploration of space with human beings, the planets, the satellites, it's going to be essential to our success. I believe that in my heart.
That was John Young answering one of my questions in Canberra. Well, we say goodbye to John Young with another song. This is by Kathy Ma, and it's called White Water. Again, this song is about death.
Ride me wild from sun to sorrow, white water star journey, dance me to a new tomorrow. Sun tight sweet water, touch me to my core. Sun tight sweet water, mother ocean, call me home once more. Sun drift, satin current, calls the fay and claims the fallen. Sun drift, satin whisper, soft as dandelion pollen. Wild tide light water ripples in the dark. Wild tide light water, mother ocean, brand me with your mark. Salt, song, salt, current rising like a flood. Sam, song, tide, water plucked from the sky. Sun, song, tide, water, never ask me why. Whitewater sun, sailor, what a life I chose to follow. Whitewater sun, haunters all the rest of pale and hollow. Sun, tide, light, water, lover, home and friend. Sun, tide, light, water, mother ocean, take me once again. Star song, soft current calling in my blood. Sweet song, salt current rising like a flood. Sun song, tide, water, pluck me from the sky. Sun song, tide, water, never ask me why. White water star currents ride me wild from sun to sorrow. White water star journey dance me to a new tomorrow. Sun tide sweet water touch me to my core. Sun tide sweet water mother ocean call me home once more. Call me home once more. Call me home once more.
From 1984, that was Kathy Ma with White Water to commemorate the life of John Young. Now, if you'd like to hear our original recordings of John Young in Canberra, then suggest you go to the Space Show's website. The URL for that, or address for it, is space.southernfm.com.au. So that's space.southernfm, which is lowercase one word, southernfm is one word, .com.au. And then go to the list of names. There's a access things by topics or by name. Go to the list of names, and on that web page, click Y for Young, and then you'll see a list of things that John Young has done on the Space Show over the past 26 years or so. So that's space.southernfm.com.au to find out more about John Young.